All right, Betsy. I think I did it right. I got everything squared away for you, so it'll be easy. All right, Catherine, you're up. Hope you're ready. Make sure, guys, if your hand's up, you actually want to get coached. Sometimes what happens is people raise their hand. They don't actually want to get coached. Let's see. What is this doing? Hello.
Hi. How are you, Corinne?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Yeah. What are you wanting coached on today?
Well, I'm calling because I am a Queen's Club member, and ever since the start of fall, I've gained some weight. I've gained about 7 to 8 pounds.
7 or 8 pounds, is that what you said? I'm just going to write it down so I don't forget.
Yes.
I don't have my wild today.
Okay. And I also spoke with my doctor because my energy levels have been totally off. Okay. And he asked me a myriad of questions, and he said to me, you know, basically what you're suffering from is something called SAD, which is seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah. And so I make my plans, and then I get into a funk, and then I eat off plan. And I'm now going through my no BS all over again. And I'm really trying to get my mind on track. I'm trying to push away this seasonal affective problem. I even bought, as per the doctor's instructions, I bought, what is it called? It's a sun lamp.
Oh yeah. One.
Yeah. And so, I've been using that for 2 days. So, you know, fingers crossed that that's going to work, but I'm just wondering, do you have any suggestions?
I do.
Okay.
Number one, you're going to have to quit calling it a problem.
Okay.
Your brain is freaking out about 7 to 8 pounds, and now it's grasping for shit to blame it on rather than just going straight to data. This happens with everyone, so don't feel bad about this. I want your model to be really clean. Doctor said I had SAD. I have gained 7 to 8 pounds.
Okay.
And we need to know what your thought about that is. Right now, the thought is, this is a problem. Does that feel amazing?
No, not at all.
Right. So if your thoughts about having seasonal affective disorder and gaining 7 to 8 pounds is, this is a problem, and how do you feel?
I feel like there's no way out.
So that would really be the thought that is like hosing you then. It's not even that this is a problem. The thought underlying it is, there's no way out.
Right. And that's not what I want.
Right. None of us do. And so, but I want you to notice that that is a thought that is playing in your brain because of seasonal affective disorder and 7 to 8 pounds. There's no way out. So give me a one word feeling. Like, how does that sentence feel when I say that to you?
It feels defeated. It feels hopeless.
Hopeless. And when we're hopeless, so what are you doing when you're feeling hopeless about the 7 to 8 pounds and seasonal affective disorder?
What am I doing?
We're not doing.
I grab ass. I grab ass. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I reach for the grapes, and then the grapes transcend into the pretzel sticks. And then from there, I move on to the chocolate. And then it's a complete shit show.
Yeah. I think it's like, this is really important for you to see. It is so easy to think, if I just didn't have the seasonal affective disorder, then everything would be better.
Right.
What's happening right now, though, is you're establishing the habit in your brain to grab ass. That's all that's going on right now. So you mm-hmm. can put any circumstance up there, and your brain will be like, every single time that you feel helpless or hopeless, or you're training your brain to think anytime you think there's no way out of a situation, we should eat. That's the tunnel.
Right.
And you dig your hole deeper.
Complete opposite of what I want to do. Right.
Right. How do you want to think about this 7 to 8 pounds? And how do you want to think about seasonal affective disorder? Like, if you get to just choose, how would you choose?
I would want to think that this is temporary, that this too shall pass, that the 7 to 8 pounds, it's, I can eradicate it by just sticking to my four basics. And if I'm just diligent, and if I shut the kitchen down, so to speak, by a certain hour every night, I can rectify this issue. Okay. And it's easier said than done.
Do what?
It seems, when I say it, it sounds so easy, but you know, when I get into my zone, it's really hard to implement this thought process.
Well, I understand that. And I'm just going to tell you, it's only hard because you want that thought process to just come natural.
Right.
And I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to come natural for a while. As someone who has had depression, like, you know, the throes of depression, yeah, you're going to have to be willing for it to be hard in the moment. You're going to have to be willing to have those thoughts of like, this is hopeless. Like, and no more calling it a funk. Like, a funk happens to me. No funks ever happen to us. And I will tell you, it will feel like one is. You will have people agree with you that, oh yeah, that's what happens with depression. People tell me all the time, do not tell people with depression that it doesn't just happen to them. We have chemical science that will tell you no. And I ask them every single time, if I tell you that your seasonal affective disorder can just overcome you without you being able to do anything about it, do you feel like amazing, or do you feel helpless again?
Completely helpless.
That is why it's never effective to talk about it in such a way that you're powerless.
Okay. So
it doesn't help.
So how would my inner Corinne speak to me?
That's how inner Corinne speaks to her. So whenever I start feeling, like when I start feeling really heavy, like the first thing you have to do is, I will tell all of you that have sad, or all of you that have depression or anxiety, you have to know how it feels in your body. Not just like, I notice I'm feeling depressed. I notice my funk is here. Usually we notice our funk is here when we're already eating, when we're already doing the things. And then it feels like it's just overcoming us.
Right.
It never is. Your body, especially with depression, especially with anxiety and stuff, it sends signals through the physical body first. It has to, because all of that is driven by chemicals in your brain. There's no fucking way in hell that it doesn't start there. Like, that is legit. So if you know that something physical is going to happen, the thing that I want you to do is, I want you to really watch yourself over the next week and start identifying, okay, I feel like the funk's here. What does it actually feel like in my body? Like, literally close your eyes, and I want you to identify everything that your body is feeling. The reason why this is important is because when that feeling starts, it always precedes eating. So we want to be aware of what's happening before we're eating. We want to know when it's happening in our body first. That's always like super important. Because once you notice that feeling in your body, then you're like, oh, this is sad. This is depression. This is the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't like hate on it for being there. That's always step two. Once you notice it's there, there's no room for judgment. You just can't. It's not going to help. So there's no, like, see, like the conversation would be like this. Like, if your brain starts going like, oh my God, this is what happens before we eat. Like, fuck it. I just want to get me some pretzels. Like, I'm so hopeless. This is never going to get better. I don't know why, you know, why can't I just be one of those people that turning the light on for 2-day works? Like that's usually the shit that goes on. That is what you want to notice and not buy into now. So all of those thoughts for me come in. Like the reason why I can riddle shit like that off is because that's what actually happens to me. And so when those thoughts come in, I just tell myself, this is just a matter of time. Eating through this makes it last longer and makes it worse. Like I really tell myself what happens. I think it's my internet. I'm in a hotel. I'm doing the best.
Okay. I'm like, Corinne, where are you?
No, my computer, it's recording. So if something happens, guys, we'll have the recording up. But it's like I have that conversation and I just remind myself, eating doesn't make it better. My brain will want to tell me to do things to make myself feel better in the moment. And I will just tell myself that never works. It may sound like it will, but it doesn't work for the long haul. I have to teach my brain this is not a horrible thing happening right now. This is just how I'm feeling.
Okay.
And then I tell myself new stories. But I don't move on to a new story like, you know, I don't know. Like, what did you say you would like? One of the things I would like to think, like, if I was you, just to kind of, like, step out of it would be, hang on, I'm going to have to mute you, I think. My end, I'm getting feedback. Can you still hear me? Shake your head if you can still hear me.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's on my end. I'm so sorry. One of the things I like to tell myself is I'm working on it. I keep it real simple. I don't try to think like, you know, as long as I do my four basics, blah, 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 blah. Like, I am just in the moment, never going to be able to do like a long ass conversation like that. I need something quick and fast. Like, I need a snack. Because usually what happens is in these moments, we're looking for a quick hit, and it's either going to be the pretzels or it's going to be a quick thought. Right. And so I want a snack on a thought. And it's usually something like, girl, you're working on it. Like, we're working on this. I'm not helpless. I'm just working on it. Today's a day. The work's a little harder. It's okay.
I love that. I really love that. Just having that dialogue with myself and saying, you're not going to get out of your depression by eating. Just work on it and just grab some water and run for the hills.
Yeah, I just have to tell myself there's no rush to feel better.
Yeah.
But I don't have to rush into feeling worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I think we need a depression protocol. I think one of the chat people put that up, and I agree. We certainly need that.
Why don't you guys come up with some? Do it in the Facebook group. Everybody's depression protocol is going to look different.
Yeah.
I would be like me posting my food and all of you just eating it.
Yeah, you're right. It is personal.
It's very personal.
Yeah.
I think like over in the chat, I'll post some. Betsy, if you want to comment, I think I'm having back feed. Betsy, if you like all of you guys who are wanting a depression protocol and stuff, why don't you guys start chatting right now, post some ideas and stuff. Betsy can copy them and put them into a doc or something. We'll post them in the show notes of this particular call, but like not sure how to create one. All right, I'm going to put you back as a panelist. I'll talk about like what does a depression protocol look like, and then you guys can get to work.
Okay, thank you, Corinne.
Thank you.
Oh, bye.
I can't tell if I'm going to have mic issues with everyone, guys, but I'm going to try to make sure that, like, I'm going to do my best on my side. All right, so a depression protocol. Let's talk about it. I have had one for years. It is basically thinking about, I want you guys to think about, like, our food protocol. Here are all the things that I can eat. Here are all the options I have available for me. Depression protocol is very similar. I think a lot of us have this in our head that we should never be depressed. It's so bad if this ever happens, blah, blah, blah. Guys, I get depressed all the damn time. I survive every single time because I have learned to not make it a big fucking deal. I can sit around and cry for 2 days and think the world's ending and survive every single time. Every single time. And I get out of it faster because I don't sit there and I don't eat and drink all the way through it, not dealing with it. The more you decide to feel and let your brain wrap itself around the idea that feelings aren't actually the end of the world. Like, this will kill you. You'll never stop crying. I love it when my brain tells me, if you start crying, you'll never stop. I'm like, well, that is some bullshit, because at some point you're going to have to get dehydrated. Nobody's drinking that much water. So it's like getting like a gut check on yourself. So I come up with a depression protocol for myself. My big one is on the days I feel like ass, like I wake up and I am just like, I make sure I get out of bed, because my tendency is to want to close the curtains, lay in a dark room, and just cry. Cry like there's no end until I'm either drinking or eating. And I don't want to be that person. So I always make myself at least get out of bed, and I take a shower. There's just something with me and knowing the water, like it's almost like it at least cleanses the bad energy off of me. I know that sounds woo and all the shit, but I'm just telling you, there is something about being clean. For some reason, when I am depressed, I stay dirty. And I don't know if it's because my brain is dirty in the moment, so I just kind of like manifest that on the outside. But I always take a shower and I put on some clean clothes. They may be duty clothes. They may be the world's most comfy clothes, whatever. And I relocate my ass to a couch. And I lay there. I may lay on the couch all day. I may watch Netflix. I may do all the things. But here I am out of my bed, showing my brain that there is forward momentum at all times. And I try to keep the, for depression and the y'all with anxiety, keeping it small and so doable is the best medicine ever. Because it shows your brain, it's like, well, if I can take a shower, then I can at least go downstairs. And sometimes, guys, by noon, I am so much better. Like, I'm already feeling better. I've had a few good cries. I've laughed at myself. I've like, you know, if I'm going to lay here, I might as well journal. Like, you know, journaling's so hard. Like, I'll tell myself, journaling's so hard. But if I'm going to be laying here, I might as well at least write some of this bullshit that I think down. And then I'll journal a little bit. And then it's like one more thing that I've showed myself that I can do. And it's not changing the world. It's just changing my inner world. Guys, that's all it takes. For you that have, like here's someone with chronic pain and fatigue, have a protocol. For all of you with anxiety and panic attacks, have a protocol. You let your brain go to work ahead of time on shit you need to solve for yourself, rather than just sitting around whining that you have anxiety and whining that you have this shit. Guys, if we're going to have these things, we may just be the best version of ourselves with it. That's the way I see it. Okay. So y'all talk in the chat. Betsy, let's make sure this gets tagged as depression protocol so that they know. Aaron, I hope you're ready.
Can't see me.
Hello.
There we go. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. So I have been a tribe member for 2 years.
And we've coached before.
We have probably the same, the same
Your
stuff.
Your face looks very familiar. So.
So this has been, I kind of recommitted again in June, and this has been the longest period that I've really, you know, stayed with it. Cause in the past I would screw up and then I would get all judgy and shame. And then I would just ignore you for a couple of months and not look at anything. And then I would get back on. And so I just wanted to be coached cause I feel like I'm kind of in that spot again.
You're ready to dump me, ghost me.
No, I know, but I'd like the thought work works, but what I'm realizing is like, I don't know why I can't, like if I was coaching somebody and they were telling me what I am saying, I would be like, oh, well, do your four basics. Did you do the little steps? Make a realistic plan. Like, I feel like I can say all of that stuff, but I'm not doing it.
Why?
And I don't know why.
Give me a guess. Other than this thought, I know the thought work stuff works, but
you got to do it. That's the, so I feel like I'm not prioritizing like I've got a lot going on and I prioritize everything else except for the things that are actually going to get me weight loss. And I kind of wonder if it,
So I've got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what does your brain say about how long and how much effort it's going to take to do the four basics and stuff? The honest part of your brain, like what is it telling you when it's time to do that stuff?
Just that I never stick with it long enough for it to work. I'm never going to lose the weight. So what's the point? I don't think I'm successful.
Tell me how long you think it's going to take you to do your four basics, to do your plan every morning.
Oh, I know it's not long. 5 minutes.
It's two. But tell me why your brain says, don't do that for 2 minutes.
Because I should be doing something for my kids. Because I should be getting ready for work, because it's not going to work for me anyway. So.
Okay. You know. Why do you care about any of that? So what?
Yeah.
Are you waiting for your brain to be like, oh my God, I finally heard enough podcasts. I'm for sure losing the weight. Them kids can wait.
Well,
I have all the time in the world.
I mean, I would like to feel more confident about it. Like I feel like I can
do the plans. And then after you do about 45 or 60 of them in a row, you'll feel more confident.
Well, I have done. I got up to 50 in a row from June to the fall.
And then what?
Then schedule changed and my routine changed and I didn't adapt it for the new routine.
Okay. So now you've learned it's time to, the next lesson for you is I'm really good for up to 40 or 50. But then when I find a good excuse, I stop. I need to watch myself because the next time I stop, I need to remind myself, oh yeah, we're supposed to keep going.
Right.
That's how now you need confidence that life can happen and you can go. You found the confidence to just do it on repeat until you found the one thing that's like, oh, this is my one thing that I'm going to just use against myself. Now we're aware of that step.
Feel like my brain is saying, I'm just never going to get there. Like, it's really hard for me to even do the last circle, the four circles, in a year. Cause I could lose 35 pounds in a year. I could be at my goal weight in a year. And I never even want to fill that out. I only fill it out to 3 months because okay. I just.
Then the next set, I'm going to tell you, you want this to be so epic hard.
Yeah.
It's not.
Right.
That's the hardest part is that it's so simple and it's staring you in the face. When it's time to do the fourth circle, guess what you're going to have to do? Be brave. You're going to have to write it down every day full of doubt, insecurity, and tears.
So you don't think I should shorten it and make it a 3 month? I feel like at one point it was a shorter.
Here's what I think you should do. I think anything that scares the fuck out of you is exactly what you probably should be doing. Rather than trying to figure out how to shortcut it, because that makes you quit making your plans. Like, oh my God, it scares the shit out of me. I've got a busy life and I'm supposed to do a plan and not eat my way through it. So I'll just quit doing the plans. I really need to eat my way through my busy life.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit practicing that version of Erin and we don't get to feel good about it.
I feel like I do that in other areas. I feel like I can make big goals that scare me and work towards it in other areas of my life. And I don't know why I can't apply that same drive to this.
What do you tell yourself give me an example of some place where you've set a huge goal and it was scary, but you did it.
I'm working on my doctorate.
So you're working on your doctorate. When it's time to do the homework for the doctorate and you don't want to do it, is there homework that I don't know.
Right? Oh God. Yeah. There's tons of work.
I'm just assuming there's homework. Are there times that you're like, my kids need me, but I really got to finish this?
Yeah. And I prioritize it. And
what do you tell yourself in that moment? Prioritizing is your action.
I have to do this.
Yeah. Why don't you just do that with the four basics in that fourth circle?
Yeah.
I mean, literally that's all. And I'm going to tell you, we're not going to go figure out why you're so broken. And we're not going to go figure out why you don't talk nicer to yourself. And we're not going to go figure out where all this started. All we need to know is this is shit I tell myself.
Right.
Played out and tired. So I'm going to have to do like I do with my doctorate. Sometimes homework sucks and my kids need me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And I will for sure not want to. And I will want to use my diet mentality against myself. And I'll be like, oh my God, if my self-talk was so much better, I'd be doing this.
Right.
Self-talk gets better when you start getting some wins.
Yeah.
Until that point, your self-talk is an argument in your head. Like, okay, we're working on believing we're going to lose the weight, but guess what? We really won't believe we're going to lose weight until we start filling out these circles. And we really won't start believing we're going to lose weight until we're like eating that fucking salad when the burger looked way better.
Yeah.
I know that's sad news for everyone. Everybody's like, can you give me a happy thought? I would like, because what y'all really want, and Erin, I'm like really driving this home because like half the call is probably sitting exactly where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Is what y'all really want is a way, it's like, I just want this to be easier so that I can do it. Mm-hmm. The only way it's going to get easier is to take that thinking that you're having right now that you wish would go away and just be like, it doesn't have to go away. I just have to quit using it against myself. I have to quit. There's so much energy and negativity into wishing that thinking away, into wondering why you're broken, mm-hmm. wondering like, why do I do all this? It's like all of that is the depleting part of the process. Mm-hmm. That is the part that's actually hard. And we stay stuck in it and we want to work on it and we want to do all this because if we stay in that realm, we get to keep eating.
Yeah.
The next step is take all of that with you and just be like, yeah, I'm probably going to think like this, but it's just how I'm thinking right now. And if I can like, you know, let my kids wait 5 minutes while I do homework for a doctorate, for sure they can wait two. And I know it's not five. It's probably never 5 minutes on the doctorate. So if it's like, tell me how long they wait on you when you have to do something for the doctorate for homework.
I try to do it when they're at school. So they're not.
Let's pretend they need something. And your like professor is like, it was due 5 minutes ago.
Oh, they would have to, I mean, yeah, they would have to wait.
Would you make them wait 20 minutes?
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
Where would be the break point when you'd be like, just not doing the doctorate work?
Probably an hour.
Okay. So a whole hour.
I could watch a show for, yeah.
So now we have this 2 minute plan.
Mm-hmm.
And a 5 minute assessment that has to happen each day. And if you're not going to overeat, you have more time for them.
Right. Cause you don't have to do a recovery worksheet.
There's no recovery worksheet. And if you do a recovery worksheet, it's like 7 more minutes. So at the max, if you stuff your face and whatever, we're like it, they got to wait 15 minutes on you every day. It's like, it's so easy to say the kids, like, I need to be doing for my kids and I need to be doing all this. It's like, they're not going to die.
I think it's that I want it in my head to stop. You know, I want to be able to like, yes, I'm doing this. I can do this. I'm going to get there. And you saying that it's okay if I'm still, I just feel like I'm judging myself because I feel like I should be way further along. I've been listening to you for so long. I just keep quitting. And it's hard to start up again and keep going when I feel like, well, I'm just going to quit anyway, but I need to just do it.
It's hard because of what you're thinking. You just said it yourself.
Yeah.
Like actually restarting and getting like just going right back to planning and doing the things. That's not the hard part. The hard part is when I load a backpack full of shit on my back and expect it to not be heavy and stink.
Right.
Like, I wonder why I feel so terrible. I wonder why it's so hard for me. I don't know. Take that backpack full of fertilizer off your back and it might feel better.
Yeah.
And that is you just deciding when that stuff comes up, I'm not wishing this part away.
Okay.
This is not a big deal.
Okay. That's just what it is.
My brain is having a tantrum.
Yeah. My brain does feel like this is a big deal. This is a big deal. You're never going to do it. And so I just need to move on. Okay.
Yeah, it's literally just thoughts.
Yeah.
My brain tells me all the time, bullshit every day, like, you know, you're going to fail. My latest tantrum in my brain is that somehow I'm going to screw up so bad that Logan's homeless. I don't know why Logan's always homeless in my worst case scenario. In my brain, he's like, hoboing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I tell myself every day, I'm like, this may be dramatic. We might just be in dramatic right now. And sometimes I laugh at myself. I'm like, seriously? Stop making it hard on yourself, girl. Okay. you know, and do the same thing for you. Like, seriously, kids can't wait 2 more minutes. Like, this is not a big deal.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I knew I'd seen that face before. All right, Emma, are you ready? Oh my God, y'all, I'm so hot. I'm going to have to go fix the air real quick. I'm going to open this door real quick, guys. While Aaron's coming on, or Emma's coming on. We'll let some people who walk by hear me cuss and yell at people. Hey, lady.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Do I sound weird at all?
No, but can you, okay. Like, I swear to God, everywhere I'm at, there's always weird noises, like a low-flying airplane all of a sudden.
I don't know. I think it might be my cat, too. I'm like, I don't know.
Sound good. No, it's me.
Awesome. Thanks.
Catch on.
Whew. So I've been kind of, when I came to October camp, I was coached there on something completely unrelated to what we're going to coach on today, but I felt really distracted while I was there because of what I want to get coached on today. So I'm going through a coding boot camp, to become a developer. And I talked to Chris, my husband about it. He's so wonderful, by the way. I have all of the love and appreciation for the royal family. So.
Well, I can't wait. I haven't seen him in over a week now. At this point, we're at a complete week. I won't even get home till 10 o'clock. I literally cried 3 times yesterday. I was like coaching someone else and I kept crying. And she was like having an issue about like feeling connected to her husband. And I was like, when I'm talking about my husband, and she was just like, I was like, I'm so sorry. I haven't seen him in a week.
That's so sweet. No. So I talked to him a little bit just about like what next steps should be, what I should learn and things like that. And that made me feel a lot better. However, I'm running up against this belief I think I have about myself. So that's why it's difficult for me to model it in the moment when I'm having it, or I'm just watching my thoughts on it. So it comes off as
really good at first. So I'm really kudos for that. Because a lot of people won't watch their thoughts. They just run from them.
Well, having depression for so long has made me like be aware of like just the power of what they can do to you every day. So I tend to watch them a bit more. However, I have been coming off as not confident in interviews. We've been doing mock interviews, and I'm coming up against this belief of like imposter syndrome. Like, I'm not good enough to be a developer. I'm not a developer. So like I've been trying to model on it, but every time I go into my intentional one, I don't get out of the unintentional. Never feels authentic for me when I go into it.
And it's not. So let's be real clear. That intentional model is not, if it was supposed to feel authentic and right, it already running. Right. Well,
maybe that's a poor choice of words. Like I go into it and I write it and I'm like, that's not something I want to move forward with. Like maybe that's not where I want to go with it.
So does that make sense? What are you trying on right now?
I'm trying on everything, every day that I've come up to so far, like every day that I've done in this program and all of the homework I've turned in and all of the things that I've done in preparation have prepared me to be a developer. So I am a developer. So I'm trying to like try that on. And I think it's when I get in the room for a technical interview, not necessarily an HR interview, because I feel like I can talk to people. However, like, when I get into a technical interview, it's with somebody with like 30 plus years of experience. And I'm like, I start the sweating. So
do you think that's normal or not normal?
I think it's normal. Like everyone gets nervous, about being in the room with somebody who's more experienced with something.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. Or they get excited because I'm curious about what they know, but
I think it's in the realm of, you understand it's very normal for someone to go into an interview,
yes,
on something they're brand new at with someone who has lots of experience, and just be like, you know, there's a cognitive dissonance here.
I will not understand some of the words you say. Yeah, I understand that, but do I really believe that yet? I think is the thing, because I run into the thought of like, well, I should just know it when they ask me the question. Like, I'm really hard on myself, and like,
why should you just know it?
because I should be perfect at it. Of course, I've done all of this work. I should just be perfect.
What if you like were hanging on to the belief I've done a lot of work and you drop the I should be perfect part?
Yeah.
Like I'm very prepared. I've done a lot of work. And let's see what happens.
I think I'm scared of the what will happen part. I think that's why I can't let go of like, if it's perfect, I know that the outcome will be great.
That's like, not true. You gotta tell yourself that. That's like you think the worst case scenario is the problem. That thought is the exact problem. That if I'm just perfect, it will all work out the way it's supposed to.
And I see that kind of foiling into like my weight loss or like anything that I do in my life. It's once I've been in the mindset of like, well, we're just gonna like, if we don't do well this time, we can just get back on and do better and just figure out what went wrong. Mm-hmm. However, like with this, I don't know if I'm applying my tools that I've been given to like just do better next time, because I'm getting feedback from these interviews, so I should be able to like
go ahead,
think about them and apply it.
Are you some way. Feedback?
Oh yeah, I've been going back and journaling about them. So my first one was that I came off as, it was a behavioral interview. So I came off as, I think it was not like self-assured. So it's like kind of like confidence in that realm.
Yeah, and it's just because I have to be perfect in order to feel confident.
Yeah. And I always run into the question, like, what is a weakness you have? And I'm like, oh, all of them. I have all of them. So
go through, like, let me ask you this. Just, mm-hmm. Just go to your action line for a little bit of your, okay. If we were just to believe that this is all a process of learning, like, I want you to think about this, Emma.
Okay.
You're young, right?
I'm 25.
Yeah. I know you're like, yeah, I never can quite grasp my brain around that you probably could be my child. So actually you could be, because my mom started at 17 and my dad was 16. So this is in the realm of possibility. Okay. But I want you to think about this. All of this like stuff that you're going through, could this just be a lot of interviews that are requiring you to figure out who you are? Rather than this is like going wrong, this is not perfect, this is all, like you have one story, like I'm not confident, you know, blah, 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 blah. But what if this is like, I'm supposed to be feeling like shit all the way through this so I can figure out like what is the real stuff I need to work on for myself?
I didn't think of it that way, obviously, because I was trying to fix it, like damage control in the moment instead of like letting things happen and then assessing later and just having that awareness of like, this is a learning process. You're all learning. It's okay. So I didn't really.
I'm supposed to be finding all my, I mean, point of the interview is let me see how many flaws I can find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Point of it.
Yeah, it is. And I put so much pressure, unneeded pressure on myself for things all the time. So
let me ask you this. What do you like, what is supposed to be happening in your brain? You're supposed to go on this interview, right? Your next one.
I have eight tomorrow.
You have eight interviews tomorrow.
Eight.
Right. So in your mind, if it all went like rainbows and daisies, let's say you just blow it out of the water. What's supposed to happen after that?
I'm supposed to get off job offers.
So I'm supposed to get job offers, and when I get job offers, I'm going to feel what?
See, I don't spend any time on if I actually reach my goal. Like I don't spend the time to be like, oh, you did this amazing thing. I'm just like, oh, okay, that's what's supposed to happen next.
Yeah, no, but the only reason why your brain wants a job offer is because it thinks it's going to feel something when it gets there.
Relieved. Relieved that it happened.
And tell me why you would feel relief. You'd be thinking what?
I did it. This is what was supposed to happen. All of my hard work has been proven true.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those thoughts you just said. I want you to write them down, and I want you to apply them to not getting the job.
Oh.
This is what we call like a truly powerful thought, is when you can hang on to the thought even when the circumstance doesn't come the way you want it. So you run a model that's actually an intentional model of a circumstance of I get the job, I don't get the job. This is exactly what was supposed to happen.
Okay.
All of my hard work is paying off because they're giving me feedback. Mm-hmm. They are telling me exactly what I'm going to need to know for the job I'm supposed to get.
Okay.
This is like a 25-year-old's dream come true. Like, I want to just tell you, like, that this is not coaching. This is just, I feel like, motherly advice. But I'm just going to tell you, I said this at camp. I'll say this again. All of you girls that are in your 20s, especially, even our early 30 girls, the best gift you're giving your future self is being willing to take all this stuff that you're learning with thought work and like look at jobs not coming through. Look at like, I notice I'm not feeling confident. I need to work on that. Like they're telling you every single thing you're going to need to know to become the best version of yourself in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to really start hanging on to the idea that all of this is like one more thing that's going to make me so much better in my future. It may feel like ass right now, but it only feels like ass because of how I'm deciding to think about it in this moment. What would your future self tell you about this idea of like you just accomplish something and you move to the next thing? What's your future self telling you about that behavior pattern?
I do know you're not really like, it feels like I'm not really living my life. I'm just trying to get to like the things I should be doing, I feel like.
So I want you to focus in on that. The things I should be doing. If you're doing those things, you would feel what? Like if all of those, like this image you have in your brain about who you should be and what you should be doing at this very moment, mm-hmm. You'd be feeling what?
Happy.
Yeah. So you're trying to do these things to feel happy rather than thinking right now. All I'm really doing is thinking that happiness exists somewhere else rather than putting the emphasis that happiness is now. So in what ways can I start thinking that brings me happiness about myself and what I'm doing? Like when I'm rejected from a job, how can I still feel happy? Like I showed up. Not everybody would apply. Most people wouldn't schedule 8 in a day. Like whatever you need to do to feel fulfilled and happy and stuff, That doesn't exist in you getting things. But our brain is always in the pursuit of, if I just weigh this, if I just do this, if I just get past this time, then I'll be able to. And the real trick is understanding like, what is it that I'm seeking and the then I'll be able to feel? Like, that shit has to start now. That's the real lesson in all of it.
Okay.
I guarantee if you walked into interviews really happy with who you are, that you're applying yourself, that you ask for coaching, like you got to come up with a bajillion reasons to be happy with yourself. You walk in with a whole different energy. You still may not get the job, but I guarantee you their feedback will change.
Well,
they'll tell you the next thing to work on, or they'll be like, and you are hired. You just seem so happy and confident to be here.
I hope that's the goal for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the goal is to be happy, not necessarily.
Really the goal.
Yeah.
And that starts with your thinking, and then all the other things fall into place when you're pursuing them from happiness and not pursuing them from fear. You'll never get there from I'm not good enough and feeling defeated. That is what gins you up and gets you so nervous when you go in. You'll still be nervous, but you'll be nervous because you really want it, not because you're not good enough.
Okay.
And that's a very different energy.
Okay. And I think that this kind of like just – spills over into all different things in like my life, like with my weight loss too, and like with how sometimes I like buffer with exercising. Like it's because I just, I'm like, well, this will make me happy. It has to make me happy, but it doesn't.
What I would tell myself before you ever exercise, if that's one of the things it does, so like, you know what, we're not going to the gym until we figure out how to think something nice about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not going to make me happy. I'm going to have to start training my brain right now. You don't even have to believe what you tell yourself, but you just have to quit telling yourself that that anything outside of you will make you happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
All right, Sandy, let's do it. Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Let me see. Can you start your video?
I'm on my...
I just sent you a little note. Oh.
Oh, there it is.
Sorry, my eyes are itching so bad. If I don't get back to Nashville, I don't know what's blooming on the West Coast, but I'm just like clawing my eyes out of this. But look at this one. It's just getting redder by the moment. Oh. So what are we coaching on?
Well, I got so into the last call and the call before that, I almost forget. Okay. So I was going to say that one of the things that I grew up in a very religious household where nobody was allowed to swear. So growing up and then coming and listening to you for the longest time, I'd be like, oh, when she says the F word, I don't know. And then like about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting there and I thought, you know what? It is a fuck it attitude. That is what I have.
I'm going to have to embrace this F word because I think that's what I'm doing.
I totally think that's what I'm doing. So I do well, like everyone else says, and then I crash, but I crash like every 2 or 3 days. It's not like, I feel like in my heart, it's because I'm trying to be perfect and do all these right things and do all the things to make everyone happy in my world. And then I get the, well, fuck it. Nobody really cares anyway.
Yeah, they don't care. You know why? You're doing it for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
All my people pleasers are going to be like, oh my God, she's fixing to tell me how selfish I am.
Tell me, because I just want to stop being the way I am because it's driving me crazy.
It's because you're not trying to make them happy. You're trying to make yourself happy. Here's how we know when we are like legit in it for pure love. Like you're not doing this for love at all. If you were doing this for love, you would not care if they ever noticed, ever. You'd be like, I don't expect, like, you're like saying, hey, I'm going to cook you dinner, but I really expect you to like tell me thank you. And I really expect you to do all these things. It's almost like saying, pay me for doing this. You just want them to pay you with like gratitude or a thank you or whatever it is that people pleasers are seeking from others to be noticed. To like, hey, do you not notice I cleaned your room? Why are you not happy? You're like, you're trying to create happiness for someone and they have thoughts. And that's the problem.
But it works for, if I can say it works for some people, like, for example, my daughter.
Tell me how this works, and this will be amazing.
She, like, if I do something for her, she's appreciative. I want to do more for her. She does for me. We work well together. We are good friends.
Yeah, but she's not doing it because you're doing things. You know why she's doing it?
Because she loves me.
She has a thought about her mother. It's not, all you're doing is presenting her a circumstance and a fact. I did this for you. Because I love you, or I want to see, the last time I did it, you were very appreciative. Guess what? I like that. So I'm going to do that again. Y'all have a relationship that's just flowing right along. But what if like, she just decides one day to have a bad day and you do it and she doesn't say thank you?
Well, and that has happened and it's okay because we've got the history.
No, but like, it's not okay because of history. It's okay because you have a thought about the history.
Okay.
You could easily be an asshole and just be like, fuck you. I know I'm dropping your F-bomb on you, but you could be like, damn you, or Y'all don't cuss. Heck you. Whatever it is, non-cussers would even say. I don't even know how to talk like a non-cusser. That is how much I cuss. But you can just be like, every single time I do something for you, you're supposed to notice. But you don't do that because you have a thought that, yeah, but she's usually appreciative. She's probably just having a bad day.
Right. So what do you do about the people that never notice?
You either do it for love or you don't do it at all. Right now, you're conditional. You're not doing it for love at all. You're just like, I'm doing all this stuff. Why aren't you noticing? It's kind of selfish.
Yeah.
You do it for love or you don't do it at all. Tell me something you're doing that no one is, like, gratified over. I do shit for Chris all the time, and I don't get no love back.
Well, and it is my husband that I'm thinking of.
Tell me his name. Let me get on the side.
His name is Mike.
All right. Big Mike. Come on now. Tell me what you're doing for Big Mike.
So I have three stepdaughters, mm-hmm. and their mother is not involved as okay. much as she should be. Okay. So I have, for 11 years, tried very, very hard to be what they lack. And they love me and tell me how much they appreciate it. But he never indicates that he appreciates the fact that I stepped right in and tried to do the best I could.
Why do you care though? So what? They do. You want to be the kind of woman that steps in. Why do you need him to acknowledge it?
I don't know, but I do.
You don't need it. Quit telling yourself you need it. Why are you demanding it? What's going to change in your world if Mike says, oh, Sandy, I have been a jerk. All these years, you have been doing all the things. Thank you.
Well, I think I would feel better. I think I would feel like, okay, he appreciates me. And then I would do more.
You could do more just because you want to.
Yeah.
Let's not make your love of these girls contingent upon somebody else and their behavior. Either love them or don't. Do not say, like, you know, I'm going to kind of hold back on being nice to people because I really want Mike to change his attitude.
Right. And I don't think I do. I think because I do love the girls and I want to help them.
Okay, then why don't you just do that from wanting to help and quit telling yourself that you would feel so much better about being an amazing person if Mike said words to you. Mike really needs some sentences going on. And then I could feel so much better about my life. Rather than like, maybe I should be like examining why I'm spending so much time in Mike's brain and not sitting around listening to what I'm telling myself about how I'm showing up in the world.
What frustrates me is I am spending so much time worrying about it that I think that I don't know what I think. I don't know.
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
There's no way you'll know what you think if you're diddling in Mike's brain. Mike's brain is convenient to diddle in. You know why?
Because it's easier than my own.
It's because it's, no, it's not even easier because there's no control over that one.
Yeah.
Sit and ruminate and think and eat over it. And like, you can do all the things and never have to get your shit together when you're in somebody else's shit.
So how do I do that? I don't know how to get out of, I don't know how, like I do the thought downloads. That's one thing that I have been doing tons of.
Okay.
I just don't know how to get anything out of my own head. It's like, it's almost like in a way my own mind is comatose and everyone else's is alive.
You have told me 1,000 things on this call. Write that shit down from now on. Like, tell me how Mike does appreciate you. Give me 3 ways that Mike, that you know for sure Mike appreciates you.
And he goes
to anything he said. It has to be noticeable. Yeah.
He goes to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
He recently changed his life insurance policy to make sure that it would cover some business expenses if he were to pass. He talks to other people nice about me behind my back.
Behind your back. I'm going to tell you right now, I would much rather have Chris telling other people about his wife and how much like she does and great things than him to ever tell me.
I guess I just want him to tell me.
Tell yourself. This is how Mike appreciates me. He tells other people about me. He prioritizes me on the life insurance to make sure that I'm like, if something happens to him, the way he communicates how much he loves me is by doing things.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a verbal communicator, honey. And expecting someone to like decide to be your version of how you like to be appreciated, saying like, I don't like you as a human. Come on now. Like, I need you to like be a whole nother human for me. You start communicating to me to make me happy and you be miserable because you're not used to doing that. Rather than you saying, you know what? I'm going to be uncomfortable relearning how to like myself enough that I don't need somebody else to change who they are in order for me to kind of figure out how to start looking at myself.
I think I'm scared to like myself because then that means that I think it goes back to this whole, then it's all about me thing. And I don't want it. I don't know.
What is scary about liking your, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if you start saying every day, I do a really good job with these stepdaughters. Not many people do shit like that, but I do. I kind of like it. I even love them. They're not even my kids. Like, tell me the worst thing that happens if you just did that every day.
I'm not sure. I think I'm afraid of failing, I guess. I don't know. Because that's what goes through my head when you say that. It's, but what if you fail?
Fail at what?
I'm afraid that if I stop trying to make everybody else do what everybody else wants me to do, that I will fail because if I do what I want, it may not be good enough or right.
It probably won't be. It's not good enough or right now either. It's really miserable right now because you're crying over it. And you have it in your brain in order to take care of you that somehow you have to stop taking care of everyone else.
Yes.
What if we're just taking care of everyone else because we like to, because we just enjoy it, and we're not looking for feedback on whether or not we're a good human or not? It's just stuff we like doing. And if we're not doing it from love, we should probably stop doing it and be honest with people and tell them the truth rather than lying to them and saying, I really want to be here when you absolutely don't. That is the hardest part. The hardest part is being honest with other people. Saying like, you know, I don't want to do this.
I actually did that today because his mom was having a Thanksgiving dinner a couple hours away. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I'm not going to go. I need to work on some things that I need to work on. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked out of my mind when I was going to get a call with you because it was like, wow, okay, cool. But I did that. And, you know, I don't feel guilty.
Good.
Which I thought I would.
Yeah. No, but you'd be angry if you'd went.
Yes, I would.
And wouldn't have wanted to. And that's the point. Like, you get to feel any way you want. And when you're trying to do things just to make other people happy, you always make yourself miserable in the process.
And you know what else? I follow it up with the F it attitude. That's when that happens. It's because I just did all these things I didn't really want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know what? You deserve the French fries and the chicken nuggets and all that.
Then you start doing things you don't want to do with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're practicing the habit of doing the things you don't want to do. Let's just start practicing doing things because we love ourselves. Like, that means like, I love you, mother-in-law. And I can tell you with love and respect and all the things that I won't be there.
Yeah.
and I can say no to a chicken sandwich because I haven't spent my entire day being pissed and resentful at everything I'm doing because no one's appreciating me. I didn't want to be there to begin with, or having the wrong reasons for even doing it.
Yeah.
Like taking care of you have a story in your head. The reason why you take care of your stepdaughter is somehow to get Mike to appreciate you. When Mike's appreciating you in his own way and you're just ignoring it, and then you're cheapening the relationship that you actually have. Like, I actually love these girls. I kind of do want to do more for them.
I do.
Even all of it when I think like this.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way before. I never thought about cheapening it that way.
Yeah.
I know I've heard you talk to other people, and I've heard you say things like maybe with Kathy about being a people pleaser. And it really resonates with me. It's just a very difficult struggle to stop it. And I don't know why. It seems so logical on the one hand.
It's difficult to stop because you're just used to doing it. It's no different than saying it's difficult to write with my left hand when I've been a righty all my life.
Yeah.
It's the same, like your brain. I don't care if you're people pleasing or doing whatever. Guys, anytime you're going to go in a different direction to doing something new, it is no different than like if you drove to work every day one way and suddenly you had to start going another way. Sometimes you'd catch yourself going the old way. Right. Your brain just habitualizes anything you do over and over again, including seeking the approval of other people, diddling in their head. Like, all of it's the same shit.
Yeah.
It's the only reason why it's hard. So all you have to do, like, I think the simplest, like, awareness thing for people who are people pleasers is, number one, is to just to say, like, if I'm not going to do this from love, and I can do it with no strings attached, meaning I don't need a thank you, I don't need an ounce of acknowledgement, I'm literally doing this because I love this person, then you pause and you ask yourself, why am I choosing to do it anyway? Because you either need to tell yourself, oh, I'm just telling myself a story, I actually do love this person, that's why I'm doing it, I don't need anything else. Or it's like, I'm doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I should be honest. If I'm not willing to tell people the truth, what the fuck am I doing?
I don't think I tell myself the truth.
Yeah. Well, and most of us won't tell someone no because we don't want to tell them, because we're like, well, I don't want them to feel bad. It's not about them. It's because I don't want to feel bad.
Right.
I will choose to feel bad if they feel bad. It's like, you could also choose to feel compassion that they're upset that they're not getting what they want. You don't always have to feel happy or like, F you or whatever. You can always just be like, yeah, it's really hard. When I have always been one way in the relationship and now I'm going to be another way, of course they would be disappointed. Of course they'd be like in shock and awe. What do you mean you're not doing this stuff anymore?
Yep.
Can you imagine if Mike just came home and said, you know, I'm not going to work anymore. Decided I don't think earning cash. I want to sit here and talk nice to you all day, but we're going to be broke and poor.
I can imagine that. I had my first husband was like that.
Yeah, and that's why he's not here anymore. He was like, hey, I'll sit and tell you I love you all day, but my ass ain't working.
That's true. That is true.
We always have to be careful what we wish for.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you. That was a good call. All right.
Bye.
Okay. I have time for one more. Yeah, I've got time for one more. And then we're going to go. Julie Coleman.
Not me.
Hey, Julie.
Hey,
what we
got? I didn't raise my hand, but
you did. It was up. You might not have meant to. I can take you down. I'll call on someone else.
Yeah, call on somebody else. They probably need me. Need you more than me at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Brenda, I hope your hand was meant to be raised. You're getting called on, or you're gonna have to lower it super fast. Y'all always check. Make sure your hand's supposed to be raised. I'm going to catch somebody on a potty one day.
Hello?
Hello. Do you see the ask you to start your video? There we go. Hey, Hey.
Oh, is it too dark?
No, I'm so happy to see your face.
So first of all, I'm going to say hi to Julie Coleman because we were in the same group for Transformation Weekend. So I'm so glad you didn't want to get coached because I needed to get coached today.
Awesome. So,
hi, Julie. I'm so nervous. And I think it's because a lot of what you've already said, I probably could have also lowered my hand because a lot of what you said spoke to me, to other people. So the last couple of weeks, I was the person who put zero for the planning for the last few days. I have not been planning at all.
Why?
And it started for me a couple weeks ago. There was a series of events at my job, like literally events, like not things that happened, but like, you know, activities.
Yeah.
And I needed to show up and like be all the things for everyone in all of those events. It was like, boom, boom, boom. My accountability group was amazing. I did a lot of thought work. You know, I did all that. I was like on it. I got through all those events, felt really good about how I showed up for myself and my planning and all these things. And then afterwards, like, I think I did not prepare when I could have. I didn't prepare for one, all of those events, night times, early mornings, weekends, meant that there was a lot of work that normally would have gotten done that didn't get done. And then there was a lot of work that came out of the events. And then one of the events was a board meeting for the board, my board, and a huge decision about a strategic project that we're in. And it just so happened that leading into that, I was a part of an action that effectively changed the whole trajectory of our project for the positive. Okay. Right. So I had that thought. I've done a lot of journaling, and I had that thought that you coached me on at Transformation Weekend, the "it's all on me" mm-hmm. thought. Which, you know, for me led to a feeling of stress and pressure. And then that led to the thought of no matter what I do, it's not enough. Because, you know, there was all that after all of the amazing week, there was still all the work that had to be done, which made me feel resentment. And then that led to, I'm so damn tired. I just need a break. Which, you know, I've been no sugar, no flour. And I had my first sugar last week. It wasn't planned. And I think I'm sitting in this place of real disappointment and shame.
Why are you so disappointed and ashamed of yourself that you have learned that this is the next step?
Yeah. Well, I recognize the thought I have, and you've been coaching on it all morning, which is, and you also, you actually said a statement about it before I even got on here, which is the thought I've identified that is really I'm struggling with is I know better, but I'm not doing better. I'm not choosing to do better. And I think that's where my shame is coming from.
What if you have that same thought, like, I know better. Tell me the thought. I know better.
But I'm not choosing to do better.
I'm not choosing to do better. And I'm so glad I know that about me. Rather than this is a stain on my humanity. Mm-hmm. Like so many of you will choose shame and judgment and like will want to argue with me like, oh, no. This is the bad thought, Corinne. This is
that's
the
exactly
one.
What I want to do right now. I want to.
Yeah, it's like you just don't understand. I've got to hang on to my shame shawl.
Yeah.
This is the one. Rather than like, thank God I know I think this.
Well, yes. And you think that that thought doesn't feel like it would help me to do better. I mean,
tell me how that, like, all right. So tell me, like, if you sit here and you think, thank God I know that I typically like to think I know better and I should choose better, that is a good thought to know. Tell me how we actually could move forward with that rather than like, I don't think that thought's the problem. I think the problem is you're hanging on to your imperfection and disappointment in yourself. Yeah. Like, I really need this. Like, no, we got to like suffer a little bit more. This is really bad. Like I ate sugar and flour off plan. Did you not hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really good thought to know you have, right?
Yeah, it is a good thought to know I have. And I just have never thought about thinking about it that way.
I'm going to give you all super secret bullshit from the coach world. Most of us need to up-level our thinking just about our thoughts.
Yeah.
Before we even have to, like, you just get so much traction out of, like, huh. So if there are really no bad thoughts, I should probably, what do you mean? Like, I wonder where else I think that all the time.
I made the list this week of all the other places in my life where I know better, but I'm not doing better.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, I want you to think about this. So that thought's really working.
Yeah. It's
giving
working.
You a whole, like, I want you to really think, this is how I think about it. So now you have a whole list of all the areas where you're not choosing better.
Yeah.
And now you get to pick one at a time and you get to say, like, so if I was going to do a little bit better in this area, what are my three ideas? Uh-huh. What's like the easiest way to do a little better in this area then? Rather than like, oh my God, would you please look at my big shit pile of all the places I'm failing in life? See, this thought doesn't work. It just makes me have a long list of my doo-doo.
That about sums it up. Yeah. And it that's exactly how it's felt, and not effective. And I've been sitting in this shit for the last.
Yes. It's because you've been judging your behaviors rather than evaluating them.
Yeah.
Rather than being grateful that you're onto yourself, rather than being like, you know what? This is probably what successful people do. They notice shit that's not working and they make a list. And then they think, all right, if I was going to, like, I just got to pick one. There's not a perfect one. Like, I have like 20. So that's good to know. Probably any of them will give me some traction at this point. And you just pick one. And then you, like, you can already tell you feel better by being like, oh, wait, you mean I can just do something for myself? Yeah, at any time you choose.
Yeah.
Or you can keep on whipping yourself, you know, back in the shed somewhere. Keep doing that. That's probably not fun, but you know.
No, it's not fun. And I'm ready to stop. So.
And this is where, like, I also want to tell you this thought. We go way back to our transformation weekend of it's all on me.
Yeah.
What if you start also thinking, like, there's a thousand ways to think about this, but if we're going to judge that thought, what if we start saying, like, it's all on me, and thank God I'm smart enough to handle me. You're super intelligent. It's probably your biggest problem is you're too damn smart. All my girls that are super smart, I'm like, y'all are a hot mess of perfectionism.
thank you so much. I'm so glad that I thank you. Thank you. Thank Julie. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah. Permie is saying hello too. All my transformation weekend girls, y'all are like coming home. It's all coming weekend.
And I'm coming to Don't Stop Believing, and I'm putting my pennies together before the tribe opens to get on to October camp too. Because yeah, I look forward to seeing you again and doing this in person.
Awesome. All right, lady. It was so good to see your face.
Thanks.
All right. Bye, sweetheart. Oh my gosh. I love seeing people that have come to events, y'all. I know I talk about our events, and this is literally not me trying to sell y'all to come to events. Obviously, we don't have a problem selling our events, but I want to end on this note when it comes to coming to events. And I hope what you guys get from this. I just spent a week at an event. I go and I do weekends with my mentor where I'm just in a room full of six people getting my face coached off and stuff. I do this because when you remove yourself from your real life and you're able to invest in yourself a little bit, guys, you just move the needle so much faster. You do not have the distraction of your real life. You're forced to be thinking about just the things. Now, I also know not everyone can come to camp and not everyone can do all the things in PNP. I get it. I spent most of my life broke. So I know that this is not in the cards for some of you. I do keep the events cheap. On, like, when you compare our events to, like, if you went to Rachel Hollis or you went to any of them, we are so much cheaper than everybody else. And I really try to keep our costs down. But here is another way to do it that's very cheap. Find people in your PNP area. Y'all decide, like, let's room up. Let's get a hotel room. like, y'all get one suite and split it and go and spend 2 days together. Take the No BS workbook. Take the self-love course. Take something and y'all do the work together. Somebody bring a laptop. Watch videos. Talk about it afterward. Ask the questions. There's no reason why you guys can't be doing this stuff, especially for those of you who cannot afford to come to Nashville, or those of you who like need to do it in your local area, find some people. And if you can't find people in your area, level up with your accountability groups, guys. Zoom, we have so many groups, they all chip in. I think it's like, it might be $20 a month. Zoom is not expensive. It's expensive for me because I have to buy thousands of seats for you guys, but to have Zoom meeting, they have it for free. You can do very little a month. They have like, I think like a $15, $20 a month thing. I don't get anything from Zoom. So y'all, I just like the platform. Y'all meet. We have like the One Taco Bitches. We have several accountability groups. They have a Zoom call every week where they can, I think the Tall Tribe does this. They get together. They take whatever we're doing that week in PNP from the Massive Action Line, or they take one of the bonus courses, or they just find a call. They get on together and they look at each other's weekly plan. They talk about what worked, what didn't. They run a business meeting, the business of weight loss. You guys can do this stuff, but set aside some time. You can do a day-long workshop together on Zoom. You can get together in hotels and stuff. Guys, you can do this stuff yourself. So if you can't come to an event, then don't tell yourself it's just not in the cards for you. Make shit happen for yourself. Figure out who would want to do this in the tribe. 7,000 people. You put that mess out there, and I guarantee you, you will have four or five people be like, I'll get on a Zoom call with you next week. We'll go through self-love. We'll just stay all day on there. Or I'll meet you at the Holiday Inn. We'll get a room. We'll all sit on the bed and somebody bring a flip chart and we're going to figure our shit out. This stuff can happen. I just want all of you thinking like, invest in myself. Either invest by coming to a camp, invest in a Zoom account, invest in your time. You get to do that just because you choose to. Okay, guys, I got to go on to my next call. The mentors are getting their coaching calls. I need to jump over there. Then my ass is headed home. So looking forward to being home, and I've got all the No BS work to do on the plane. So I like to keep myself busy when I'm traveling. So I'll be working more on No BS for you guys. And then I will see you tomorrow night in Nashville from my regular place to talk all things holiday week. Bye, y'all.